How many of you were here Sunday and you heard Pastor Matt talking about open arms? Open arms, just do this. Fantastic message. I have to admit, I was a little distracted on Sunday, so I went back and listened to it again. Shout out to the podcast and live stream and all of that technology that's available for us to not only hear the word one time, but to hear it over and over and over. Because if you're like me, that sometimes you can daydream a little bit, you can be off in la la land. Some of you may be sleeping a little bit. Some of you may be humming or singing and while somebody else is talking. My distraction was one of troubleshooting technical difficulties, so I have a valid excuse. But I did go back and listen to the message, and what a fabulous explanation and revelation of our core value of open arms. And so I just kind of want to piggyback off of that, because it is one of the values that people most identify with here at Good News Church. A lot of people like miraculous power. They like the common unity. They like the passion for souls. They like the Holy Spirit led. Some people even like the anti-religion. You know, if it doesn't run off the religious people, then and they stick around, then they are okay with it. But most everybody that stays, that comes and stays and sticks, they talk about open arms. That when they came into this building, when they came to this church, they were welcomed with open arms. And so, again, tonight, I just want to remind you of who you are. That you are a church of open arms. You're a church that just loves people. And it's no wonder we've been talking about love all year. And hopefully you've gotten a little bit of a revelation. How many of you have been transformed this year by the love of God, by the teaching and revelation about the love of God? It's changed me. And I'm so grateful for it. I mean, I don't think we can hear enough about God's love for us and how it should flow in and through us. And tonight I want to talk to you based on a revelation I got while watching a movie. I like movies. How many of you like to go to the movies? If you enjoy going to the movies, just a plug, I have a few shares in MoviePass. And so it's a great thing. See as many movies as you want in a month for $10. Fantastic. Anyway, Google that. So, I was using my movie pass to see a movie with my kids called Wonder, and it's based upon the book by the same name. It's a New York Times bestseller. How many of you heard of Wonder by R.J. Palacio, however you say his last name? 5 million people have read the number one New York Times bestseller, and they've fallen in love with the character of Augie Pullman. He's an ordinary boy with an extraordinary heart. He's a kid who's going into, who has been basically homeschooled all his life, but he's going into public school. And the reason he's being homeschooled is because his parents are concerned about his appearance. He was born with a craniofacial deformity and multiple surgeries, and so his face doesn't look like everybody else's face. And so they have these concerns about sending him to public school. Augie, however, wants to go until he has his first day. He wears his astronaut helmet to school and doesn't really want to take it off because he doesn't want people to see him. And so he ultimately, his parents say, hey, you got to take that off. He takes it off. He goes to school. And, you know, kids can be mean. And they were mean. And they compared him to Darth Sidious from Star Wars. And they called him names and they bullied him. And he came home. Gosh, I am giving away the whole movie. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. You could have read this on Spoiler Steve's, Reality Steve's website if you wanted to. So, anyway. I'm not going to spoil the whole movie for you. Go watch it. Read the book. It's a fantastic movie. I found myself ugly crying in this film, like a good cry. You know, you're happy for all the hits you in all the feels. You know what I mean? And those, it's just a good heartwarming film. So go see it. But the point I want to get to you is he has this excellent teacher named Mr. Brown, who every day in the classroom he puts this precept on the board. And the precept for the opening day that really sets the tone for the book, sets the tone for the movie, sets the tone for the year at that school was this: when given the choice between being right and being kind, choose kind. And we'll put that image up on the screen for you to take a look at that. When given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. And I find that's very insightful. A lot of us, we'd rather be right, wouldn't we? Like, we would rather make people see things the way we see them. And we'll pound the keyboard as hard as we can in all caps to make sure they see our point in an argument on Facebook, if you caught my drift. We'd rather be right, wouldn't we? We'd rather people see things the way we see them. And a lot of times, and Christians aren't the exception here, because more often than not, we will even try to argue people into the kingdom of God, trying to convince them that, you know, they're wrong, that they're going to hell, the turn or burn kind of concept, or that their doctrine is wrong, and so we want to change them by screaming at them and yelling at them and say, I'm right, you're wrong, see it this way. But when given the choice between, I mean, this isn't like, I don't have a Bible, like, chapter and verse. This isn't a proverb. This is some philosopher, guru, new life, a new age kind of guy. But he's right. When given the choice between being right and being kind, choose kind. Well, let's find some scripture about kindness tonight. The title of my message is Choose Kind. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 in the Passion Translation says this: Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? His extravagant kindness. God's not sitting on his throne arguing that he is right. And he is right. He is right. Everything that he says is right. But it's also kind. Arguments, apologetics, proving yourself to be right isn't how God wants to bring people into his kingdom, into his family. It's through his extravagant kindness, the extravagant riches of his kindness, his extraordinary kindness. Isn't that good? Yeah. And we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the New Living says, instead, be kind to each other. Everybody just say that, be kind. Be kind. Look at your neighbor, tell them, be kind. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, like, there's a transition word there. It says instead. Now, that means there's some stuff that comes before that that we need to take note of and look at. And I like how it's written in the Passion Translation. It's my new favorite translation. We love it around here, don't we? It's fantastic. It's phenomenal. And this passage is no different. We'll back up to verse 29. It says, and never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. This is a far cry from what Augie Pullman heard at school that first day. And not just the first day, but the second day, third day, as he was alienated, as he was bullied, as he was looked at in disgust, as people made fun of him. This is a far, those were ugly and hateful words. And we almost, we would expect that from the word, but do you know, from the world, but do you know that we can be the same way? We can let ugly and hateful words come from our mouths. And out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. This should not be, James tells us. Instead, let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. Some of you have taken hold of part of salvation. Your mouth still needs to be saved. The hurtful words need to be rescued. All right. He sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead, here's that transition, instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. You know, we want people to be kind to us, don't we? We don't want people to say hurtful or ugly things to us. We don't want people to make fun of us. I mean, I remember very strongly in middle school just being made fun of a lot. I was a smart kid, and so I was the nerd. And I was not coordinated, but I enjoyed playing basketball at that time in my life. And just wasn't good at it. But people made fun of me. And I remember just that wounds you, doesn't it? How many of you have ever experienced that? Like bullying or people make fun of you? Like if you wore the, I mean, my parents didn't have a lot of money, but everybody wanted you to wear the right clothes, the name brand stuff. And so you felt inferior when you went to school when you didn't have that. People make fun of you, you know, just be hurtful. The scripture here says, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Now, we tend to put some classifications on this. We want to be kind and affectionate to those who look like us. We want to be kind and affectionate to those who talk like us. Well, that northerner has a Minnesota accent, can't even understand what she's saying. Okay, I'm joking, picking on Katarina. Everything is nicer in Spicer, right? That's what I heard on Sunday. But we want to be kind and affectionate to those who believe the way we believe. Have you ever found yourself being mean to our Baptist brothers and sisters because they don't believe the way we believe, or the Catholics, or the Presbyterians, or, I mean, what do you say, the Jehovah's Witness? Those of you who went on the New Movers Outreach on Sunday, wish you opened the door for that Jehovah's Witness that came to your door. I was telling Frank, we were partnered up, and I was like, it makes me wish that I had sowed some good seed and not pretended I wasn't home when they ring my door. Because here we are ringing people's doorbell and expecting them to come to the door and listen to what we have to say. Oh, good one, Al. That's really good. We want to be kind and affectionate to those who behave the way that we behave, who act the way that we act, or who act the way we want them to act. And if they're not acting the way we want them to act, even if it isn't the same way we act, because we're acting the same way they are, we find fault in them. That make your head go tilt. And we disguise our disgust with people who don't behave the way we behave, or don't have morals like we have. We disguise our disgust with them by cute phrases like, love the sinner, hate the sin. You heard that before? Love the sinner, hate the sin. More oftentimes than not, those lines are not cut and dried, are they?
No.
Because the sin that you hate in that person leads you to judging that person for committing that sin. And that's not kind. Scripture says, don't judge lest you be judged. You don't want to be judged? Don't judge somebody else. But in our words and actions, we find ourselves judging that person. The fact is, we don't hate sin, a lot of us. We hate someone else's sin, but we coddle our own. Right? You got to laugh from the pain that's stepping on your toes here. We hate everybody else's sin. Oh, they ought not be behaving that way. Oh, they talk to me this way. They snub their nose at me. And, oh, did you hear that about that person and who they slept with and who they did that with and all this other stuff? And we hate their sin. But we nurture ours. We pet it. And, oh, that was just that one time. And, I asked for forgiveness for that. No, I did it again. But I keep asking for forgiveness. So it's not, it's no big deal. We pet it. We nurture it. We feed it. Come on. The same preacher that condemns sin in somebody else is the same preacher that bellies up to the buffet after church on Sunday and gorges himself. Have I touched your... No, I'm not looking at you. Have you been to the buffet lately that I don't know about? Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Can you relate, though? Like, somebody else's thing is bad and it's wrong, but my thing, it's okay, and there's forgiveness for that. But for them, man, that's the impardonable thing. And you know what? I want to let them know exactly how I feel about that thing. And I want to shout it from the rooftops. I want to gossip with my neighbor. Never mind the fact that what I'm doing by gossiping is actually sin. Okay. But that's okay. We're going to pray for that person. So it makes it all right. I like entertainment, so I'm going to tell you about this TV show I was watching. That's my sin, okay? Like, all right, I give in to too much. I was watching years ago. There was this TV show called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Have you ever heard of it? Yeah. On Bravo TV, series that aired from 2003 to 2007. So I have to admit, I watched this show a lot. I did. You wouldn't think that I would watch the show a lot. I mean, Kristen was watching shows like on TLC, like What Not to Wear, where they give people the makeovers and stuff. And Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was these Fabulous Five gay men who would make over straight dudes and like help them look better, you do their hair, teach them how to cook, in hopes of impressing a date. Or their loved one or whatever. So here I am watching five gay men give these straight dudes makeover. And don't judge me. I enjoyed the show. I mean, I picked up a few tips. Look at this. I tried some stuff on my own hair during that season, and it didn't quite work. We've got pictures to prove it. I don't want to show you those. But last week I saw on Facebook that they had actually did a reboot of the show. They just took off For the Straight Guy off of it and just call it Queer Eye. And they've already done one season on Netflix, and then they're into their next season. I think how Netflix does is if they produce a show, like all of the episodes drop at the same day. So it's not like you got to wait for it. So anyway, I'm kind of scrolling on Facebook like we all do, right? And I like Netflix on there. And so their videos, trailers show up in my feed. And so I see this trailer for Queer Eye. And I'm like, oh, this brings me back. I remember this. But this is a new Fab Five. It's five different gay guys who have style and fashion and food and design and all of this kind of stuff. And it's now on season two. And the reason I bring this up is because in the first episode, the Fab Five make over a church lady. And I don't want to share with you anymore until I show you the actual trailer that really caught my attention. So would you guys play that for me and make sure the volume's up so they can hear everything?
Hey. Hey.
How's it going?
Oh my God.
Food?
I eat fast food. I'm on this planet not for myself, but for the betterment of humanity.
So what's on your vision board?
Oh, my vision. I want it to be a place that we can be people spiritually and naturally, where everyone that walks in the door can feel love.
For everything you do for the community, my gosh, you deserve some gold cash.
And you're going to make me like a diva?
This has been a life-changing week for me. And, you know, it's just God's amazing grace that we stand here in this beautiful facility today. Before he gave the vision, he already made provisions because he knew you guys would wind up together. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. I'm thankful. It's a catchphrase people just use and they let it roll off their tongue. What would Jesus do?
Right.
You know, and I take that, you know, very, very seriously. You can't antagonize and evangelize at the same time.
How can I say that I love God, but I cannot love the ones who are right there next to me? I would call myself a hypocrite. And I say I was around 5 gay men. I was around 6. My son walked away from the church. You know, and it's been my prayer that he comes here and feel the love. Do I love Jesus? Yes. Am I a believer? Yes. Do I love my son? Yes. Come here, Anthony.
It's intriguing, right? You watch that and you're like, I want to watch this episode. And so I did. I went back and I watched that episode a few days ago. And let me tell you, it was, again, that same sensation that I had in wonder, like the ugly cry, I find myself crying in this episode. It hit me right in the feels and it convicted me at the same time. And I'm like, this is Netflix. This is Queer Eye. Why am I feeling so convicted over watching this show? Just that one phrase that Mama Tammy says, you can't antagonize and evangelize at the same time. Now that'll preach, y'all. Netflix be preaching to y'all tonight. You can't antagonize and evangelize at the same time. Be kind. Choose kind. That show just wrecked me pretty good, y'all. One of these guys during the episode, spoiler alert, I know you're going to go watch it tonight. You know, you're going to binge all however many episodes there are. Just watch this one. I'm telling you, man, eye-opening. One of these guys wouldn't even set foot inside the church because of how he'd been treated by Christians. Like, it wasn't a church service. They were just getting a tour of the facility. Now, they transformed the community center at the church. These 5 gay guys transformed the community center at this church that had been unfinished. He wouldn't set foot inside the church building because of how he'd been treated by Christians. He said he grew up in the church, but then when he came out as gay, they kicked him out and they shunned him. I have friends who feel the same way, and this isn't you know, just about the LGBTQ plus community. This is about humanity. This is about loving people of all shapes, sizes, colors, religion. This is about choosing kindness over choosing being right, because it's God's extravagant kindness that leads men to repentance. I could tell you stories of people who've been transformed by that extravagant kindness. People who have come out of lifestyles of sin, who've been transformed not because someone told them they're wrong. They've heard it enough, y'all. But because somebody loved them. And love them with no strings attached, and love them not for the end result. I'm not saying I love you for who you're going to be. I love you for who you are right now. And this will make your head explode, guys, because this isn't the way we think. This isn't the way we've been conditioned to think in the church. It isn't the way we've been conditioned to believe in the church. We want to love people at their expected end. But God, who sees everything at the end from the beginning, he loves all of humanity. Even while you were yet sinners, he loved you and he loved me. But yet we judge others by the content of their character and the color of their skin and their sexual preference, not seeing them the way he sees them. Where's the love? Where's the grace? Where are the open arms? I mean, this is extreme open arms for some, don't you think? And what do the scriptures say? Don't mistake acceptance for tolerance. Do you see what that said in Romans 2, 4? Let's go back. Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance? His extravagant kindness. We condemn people with our words, with our stares, with our looks, with the side eye. Forget the queer eye. We give the queers the side eye. If I could be so blunt. But Grandma was right. She said, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Ephesians 4 says, never let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth. And if we aren't careful, we can find ourselves just a few steps removed from the tragic antics of the Westboro Baptists, who will spout their beliefs and tell us who they are certain that God hates. Galatians 5, verse 14 in the Passion says this, "For love completes the law of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another." Demonstrate. This is the grand law. The law summed up in one grand statement, love. Love your neighbor as you care for and love yourself. One of the moments in that episode, and again, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear what happens, you know, cover your ears, whatever. One moment in that episode, Mama Tammy, who is really just a display of God's love, she has these interactions with each of these, the Fab Five, the five gay guys, and in every interaction, we see the love of God just in demonstration. It is really something special to watch. She's explaining to one of the guys who had, and all of them had experience with church and Christian folks. She explained it to one of the guys about her son, who had come out as a gay man. And she had the same reaction that most Christians do. She shunned him and kicked him out and wasn't accepting. And so she sat across her kitchen table from her son and she said, "I need to ask for your forgiveness." And I'm like, okay, wipe the tears. "I need to ask for your forgiveness." And the son says, "Mom, I forgave you a long time ago." And she goes, "No, I need you to hear this. I need to say this." And she goes, "Mama loves you, but Mama hasn't loved you unconditionally." Man, that really struck a chord with me, man. It hit me hard. How often do I say that I love people, even those that are most precious to me, yet I love them with conditions? You ever found yourself behaving that way? Like, you love your kids when they're behaving good and not getting on your nerves, but when they are getting on your nerves, you maybe love them, but you don't like them that much. Same way with your spouse or other family members. I think that's how relationships become estranged. We don't love without conditions. This agape, unconditional love has been poured out into our hearts as believers. The Holy Spirit enables us to love with an ability beyond our own. Yet we love people with conditions. We love people when they meet our expectations, when they do what we want them to do, whether or not we've told them we want them to do that or not. And when they don't meet our expectations, oh, silent treatment. Well, I don't want to talk to you. I can't overlook that fault. That's the one that's just, it's over. You're cut off. No more relationship. You did this one wrong thing, so you're done. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. Get out of my face. Love with conditions. Yeah, we're meant to love people without conditions. What does the Great Love chapter say? Love is patient, love is kind. Choose kind. Listen to this in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. And you know what? The hypocritical aspect of it isn't when you're loving without conditions. It's when you're judging. That's being the hypocritical. So that's not who you are. That's not who you are in Christ. And so you're behaving outside of who God's created you to be. And so what you need to do is say, hey, that's not who I am. Let's line that up with who God says I am. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And we'll use verses like this to say, love the sinner, hate the sin. And we abhor what is evil, and yet we put a stamp of evil on those people who are doing evil things. Yet God loves them anyway. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then a few other passages here that just really communicate this kindness aspect. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it says, once we too were foolish and disobedient. Y'all, this is, can anybody relate? Like, this is how I used to be. This is how I used to behave. But somehow, since I found Christ, now I'm better than you. And so I can judge you, even though I used to be there like just a few short years ago. 5 minutes ago, I did the very same thing that I'm judging you for. We too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled. We became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his what? Kindness and love. His judgment? His wrath. His sinners in the hands of an angry God. When he revealed? No. He revealed his kindness. He revealed his love. He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. The only reason that you've been made new, the only reason that you've been transformed from foolish and obedient is not because of the good things you did, because of one choice you made to receive his grace. And yet the same grace that we've received, we want to keep all to ourselves. Oh, you're going to get, you can, yeah, Jesus may grace you, but not me. Jesus loves you, but I don't know how I feel about that. We are Jesus to this world. We can't antagonize and evangelize at the same time. I heard that from Mama Tammy. She's right. 2 Peter 1. This one's good too. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We like faith, right? We are people of faith. We believe in the power of our words and declaring God's promises. It says, add to your faith. Like, this is ground level here when we see the progression. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness. This is up on the totem pole here. And to brotherly kindness, love. Kindness is just one step away from love in this progression here. I would say that kindness would flow out of love. And let's look at this. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And isn't that what's taking place when we're over here on our high horse looking down at the person who is not yet saved and we're saying, well, look at you. You're doing those bad, horrible, awful things. Making those bad, horrible, awful choices that lead to bad, horrible, awful death. And here I am, living the high life, living the good life, and we're blind, short-sighted. We've forgotten. I used to be down in the muck and the mire. The only reason I've been pulled up from that is because he reached his loving hand down and I just took a hold of it. So instead of trotting along on our high horse, we need to extend an open hand with an open arm and invite someone to come out of the muck and the mire. They don't need to hear how dirty they are. Is that going to help them get clean? Is that going to help pick them up to tell them, boy, you are down and out. Sucks to be you. Is that going to help them? No. It's not. I shared this post on my Facebook from Robbie Dawkins. He wrote this. He said, I had a dream many years ago that totally revolutionized my theology, totally changed how I think of doing church. I grew up in church. I grew up in a keep this principle, keep this principle, keep this principle, and this is what you are. In my dream, the Lord showed me this picture of this church filled with drug addicts, with prostitutes, with drug dealers, with gangbangers, with people from all sorts of different crime life. And they were in the church, and they were doing everything wrong. They were having sex in the pews. They were drinking. They were doing drugs in the pews. They were selling drugs to each other. Everything they were doing was wrong. They were fighting, and I was trying to stop all that. And I remember at one point I hollered out and I said, if you're not going to honor God's house and respect his house, then get out. Exactly what probably the majority of pastors or leaders would say. And I remember the Lord speaking back to me so clearly and saying, why would you send away what I've sent in? Why would you send away what you've been asking for? And I said, God, I didn't ask for this. And he said, you asked me for the lost. Now keep it simple. Love them and let me change them. And that completely revolutionized how I thought of church and how I saw evangelism and everything. And it wasn't about pointing out to people what they were not doing, but what Christ was inviting them to. Oh, that would be our philosophy. Love them. Love them and let him change them. Love them without conditions. Love them without the seeing the end picture in mind and trying to get them to that place. We think, okay, if I love them, then I can get them there. No, don't worry about getting them there. Let God do that. He'll use you. He'll show you what to say. But if any of those ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth, I dare say that he's not using you in that way. It's not his mantra. It's not how he operates. It's this extraordinary kindness that leads men to repentance. And if we're going to have open arms, we have to have open hands extended to people. We have to have open hearts that would welcome people who are different than us. Not only in this building, but especially out there. Because chances are, if they've been hurt by the church, they won't set foot in this building. But they can encounter the love of God just as displayed through Mama Tammy. I wonder what kind of impact it had on those guys to see true love, to see real love in action. Not judgmental, not condemning, but true love. Even her son had not returned to the church since all that went down with her. But you see this glorious reunion when they have the homecoming service, and he comes back and he sits in the pew with his dad. And he was the guy that you see crying there. He came home. It wasn't through a condemning finger. It was through an open hand and an open arm that welcomed him back. Well, I hope that helped you tonight. I want to pray for you. Would you just stand to your feet as we close? Father, I thank you for your love. Oh, the riches of your love, your extraordinary kindness, your grace toward us. Thank you for the transformation that we've experienced in our lives, that we're not who we used to be. That we're no longer foolish and disobedient, but we're your children. And Father, I thank you that the very love, the very grace, the very forgiveness that you've extended to us, we would allow that to flow through us in extension to others. Oh, that your love would abound in our hearts. Oh, that your love would abound and be displayed in our actions. Father, help us. Change our hearts that we wouldn't judge people, that we wouldn't see people in regard to their behavior or their actions, Father, but we would see them as you see them, with love, with kindness. And Father, we wouldn't be the ones who would have to choose to be right all the time, but we would choose kindness. And in doing so, we would demonstrate your love to one another and to the world. Father, I thank you for it. Give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.